Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are alone. Yesterday they told you you would not go. On your dressing room, they hung a star. Let's go on with the show. The costumes, the scenery, the makeup, the props, the audience that lifts you when you're down. The headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops, the sheriff who escorts you out of town. The opening when your heart beats like a drum. Closing when the customers don't come. There's no business like show business, like no business I know. You get word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died at dawn. On top of that, your partner has parted. You're broken hearted. They are low. Even with a turkey that you know will fold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold. Let's go on with the show. Let's go on with the
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this still celebratory Monday here in the city as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. We are in the midst of our winter fun drive here at the radio station, and you can participate in that as well. You know you can. You've heard it all before. If you dial 888-931-0901 or go online at kkfi.org. And helpful, friendly, and ready phone answerers are in the phone room right now, cheerfully awaiting your call. And we hope you'll do that for us. More on that in a few minutes. I want to get started with my guest for today. Lots of things are going on here in town, not just football celebrations. The Kansas City Ballet is opening one of its premier shows of this season, the infamous Swan Lake. And here to tell us all about it, I like to go to the top. You know me, you know that. Devin Carney is here. He is the artistic director of the Kansas City Ballet, and one of the most talked about ballets, no matter where you go, is Swan Lake. They'll talk about the romance, they'll talk about the drama, they'll talk about the evil sorcerer, and all that goes into it, you know, the ugly duckling, and the beautiful swan, and all of that. Devin is here to talk with us about it. How are you doing?
Great, Michael.
Devin unfortunately lives in the neighborhood where a lot of the parade celebration took place last week.
It was hysterically fun. I loved every minute of it.
Well, we were here. You're good luck. You were here for the 2015 World Series.
I was.
You were here for the 2020 Super Bowl.
That's right.
We have to keep you here.
I know. Even the MLS Cup, the soccer cup.
Yeah. That's right.
You Sporting did, KC won. Yeah.
You did that as
and
well.
So far, I've had both of those trophies, both the World Series trophy as well as the MLS Cup, on stage during our Nutcracker performances.
Well, next year you're having the Lombardi, right?
So, exactly, Michael. Let's cross our fingers and hope for the best on that one.
Oh, explain to Clark Hunt the connection there, and they'll come through for
you. Well, I'm just disappointed that Mahomes, after winning, didn't say, what are you going to do now? He didn't say, I'm going to go appear at the Kansas City Ballet.
You never know. He's very athletic.
Is he. That's true.
Swan Lake is a much-anticipated show. It is so well-known and so talked about. There have been so many takeoffs on it.
Yeah.
The movie Black Swan television sitcoms. You'll mm-hmm. have the actors sitting in the crowd watching Swan Lake. That happened
right.
in several sitcoms
right,
over right. the last few years. It is a well-known show.
Yes, it is quite well-known. I mean, it's, you know, first done in 1877 was the first performances of the ballet. So it's been around a few years, you know. And, you know, I mean, another parody, which is really funny, is Barbie even did her own parody of Swan Lake, Barbie Swan Lake. So there, it is one of those ballets that I think is so wildly well known that it gives, you know, a large general portion of our humanity, frankly, not just America, but just the world, that opportunity, there's some slight familiarity with it to be able to parody it and just have fun. You know, the biggest parody, of course, out of the entire ballet is the world-renowned Dance of the Four Little Swans. That is the one that is most well-known, and it ties directly to Swan Lake. Anybody sees that, they know it's Swan Lake. And that's that one where you have the four women holding each other's hands, and they do all this intricate footwork together, and they never let go from start to finish, and it's really fast. And it is something that I don't think four football players could do together, because it requires so much rehearsal and so much precision work of four people being exactly the same. But because of that, you know, it's really brought this renown to this one small moment of Swan Lake. And it's only, by the way, for your listeners, it's only like a minute and a half of, you know, a two-hour ballet. So there's a lot more to Swan Lake than just those four little swans, for instance.
Oh, of course. What's such a well-known show, and you're known for reworking and yeah. revising things. I mean, that's sort of your trademark.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but I guess you're right, Michael.
Well, of course I'm right.
In my time here at Kansas City Ballet, it has been the thing that I've been doing the most is these great full-length ballets and stories, not necessarily ones that are as well-known in terms of ballet, but, you know, like Peter Pan was one thing I did recently.
Sure. How much changing do you dare do to mm-hmm. something like Swan Lake?
Okay. That's a question that I'm asked a lot. And, you know, it's a ballet that's been around, what, 130-some years, right? Maybe more. 140, 1877, 2020. So you're talking 120 plus 23 years. It's a long time, okay? We're closing in on 150 years there, right?
Sure.
So what I'm trying to get at is that over time, different companies and different individuals see it and have their own ideas of what it should be like. A majority of the ballet was reworked about 15 years after it first was performed. And then that particular production went across the world. And eventually in London, there was another production done in the 30s, 1934, by what is now the Royal Ballet. And then in America, it was first done in 1940 by San Francisco Ballet. And since then, it has been danced in America solidly, straightforward, since 1940. But along the way, you know, different interpretations of the work have come along. So when you're asking about the what has remained, okay, what has survived the test of time in terms of actual steps, I would say it is, you know, the ballet's broken up into four acts, or we call them the white acts, and then more of the human acts. The white acts are where you see the swans, and the other acts are where it's like regular people performing. But in the white acts is where you see more of the original steps, if you could say they were original, because it's hard to document ballet from that long ago to actually find out what the steps exactly were. So a lot of it is passed on generation to generation until now, when we, of course, you know, since we started getting videos involved some 60, 70 years ago. So Act Two is where I would say you would see the most historical work that is most well known around the world, the full Act Two, with the White Swan pas de deux, with the four little swans, or the dance of the four cygnets, that's called, as well as our two big swans. We have something for two women as well. Beyond that, the only other thing that is really reaches way back in time is the Black Swan, Pas de Deux, in Act 3. And just to give you a little background, you know, I was talking about the White Swan, Pas de Deux, in Act 2, and the Black Swan, Pas de Deux, in Act 3. It's actually danced by the same female because she. This is one of the most challenging roles in all of the classical realm for dance, for ballet, because this individual, the Swan Queen, who is the White Swan, her name is Odette, and she's been transformed into the swan by an evil sorcerer, Van Rothbart. Okay, and anyway, a prince comes along and falls in love with this beautiful swan princess. But in Act 3, Van Rothbart brings his daughter disguised as Odette. Her name is Odile. Now, for the audience's sake, she's dressed in black, okay? But she's actually looks just like the White Swan, because it indeed is the same person. And this person has to dance a very technically intense work, the white Black Swan Pas de Deux. And it's very powerful, and it's very sensual, and it's very... she teases the prince a lot in this work. The Black Swan, whereas in the White Swan, she's all soft and she's all demure, and she's, if you could say, cautious. And everything about her is pretty much the opposite of what the Black Swan is, Odile. So it has become an extremely challenging role for a female because, you know, most people have certain talents and they don't have talents that. They might be a really strong, powerful technician, but they're not so good at being soft and delicate and gentle, and vice versa. They might be the softness, but they can't do the powerful intensity of the acting required in the Black Swan. So to have one person do both of these in the same performance is quite the challenge. It's a really, really big mountain to climb for anyone who dares to take on the role of Odette Odile, the dual role. So, you know, that's that Black Swan Pas de Deux is something that I've really kept, and I love that it's so authentic. And also the Chartus in Act 3 as well, which is an old Hungarian character dance. I've gone way back and have seen that this same dance has been done at least 100 years, if not more. Wow. So there's some parts to it that are quite original, and others that are all my interpretation of the character of the moment. Sure. And they're not necessarily the step.
The show opens on a Friday, the 14th. What is there about that day? At 7:30 p.m. Performances then continue Saturday the 15th, a matinee on Sunday the 16th, Wednesday the 19th, Thursday the 20th, Friday the 21st, two performances on Saturday the 22nd, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 7:30 in the evening, and closes on Sunday the 23rd with a 2 o'clock matinee at the Kauffman Center, downtown Kansas City. The number to call for more information is 816-931-8993, or you can hop online at kcballet.org. We're speaking with Devin Carney. You know, we're happy to give publicity to organizations like the Kansas City Ballet, big organization, small one too. For this first pledge break, I'm going to talk about the bigger ones. I can remember when the lady that leads the orchestra for your performances.
Oh, Ramona Punzegrauer, music director.
Ramona, she used to have a show on KXTR-FM when it was a classical station, and she interviewed people from the ballet. So she knows what I have to deal with all the time. But unfortunately, classical stations like KXTR have gone away over the years, but we're still here at KKFI to help fill that void, and I'm happy to do it with all of the organizations that come along. Let me try and present the case for you. We ask for money periodically, so we can do things like this. We like to cover things that are going on in town that otherwise would not get covered very much. And I'm happy to fill in the gaps here. We cover large and small organizations, even the ballet, and they have an advertising budget, but they need more immediate recognition sometimes on the radio. Where else could you hear the artistic director of the ballet talk about his ideas for putting together the ballet and all of that? You can have that time here. He might get 2 or 3 minutes on Channel 4 in the morning during the morning show. He's probably done that. Mm-hmm. But here he has practically a whole half hour to do that. And we're happy to learn about the show, him personally, the performers in the show. And the only way we can do that is on a station like KKFI. And we need your help. I hope I've made a case for why we need your help. So just call 888-931-0901 to help make your pledge to support community radio, all that goes into it. You can also hop online at kkfi.org. We have basically 3 art shows on during the week, Monday at noon, Wednesday at noon, and Friday at noon. I'm on Monday. Maria is Vasquez Boyd is Wednesday at noon. And the now late Charles Ferrugia was on at noon on Fridays. And as I understand it, the show's going to continue. They are going to have to tell you more about that when their pledge time comes about that. We're going to miss Charles terribly. He was a theater critic for the Johnson County Sun. He was a food critic for The Pitch. He did many other things, worked with Walt Bodine on KCUR. We're going to miss him, of course, but we are dedicated to help bringing you, at least on our programs, things that are going on in the arts scene. And I hope you'll help us out, help keep this tradition going by calling 888-931-0901 or online at kkfi.org. Phone answers are in there. They can tell you about special premiums that they'll be giving away during the fund drive. Just ask them, and they'll be happy to do it for you. 888-931-0901. Let's get back to Devin Carney with the ballet presenting Swan Lake, one of the most well-known. He was talking about the story and all of that. It's a fascinating story. I guess, does it come out of the old German traditions?
It does. It meant Bavarian, and there are many kind of like old tales of humans being transformed into swans. It seems to be something that was quite prevalent back in the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s. You know, there was a book, though, that everybody seems to agree was the book, short story, if you could say, a tale, called the, believe it or not, White Duck is what it was called. And that is, everybody points to as sort of like the inspiration for the story. It's perhaps a story that was read by Tchaikovsky, who wrote the music, and he actually was visiting his sister at one point in 1871, and that's when he and there were his nieces and nephews were there, and he wrote some what would later become themes of the full-length ballet of Swan Lake, but he wrote them for this little story for his relatives, and he later was commissioned to actually create something based on the story of the White Duck, so they say. And he wrote basically the Act Two portion of it originally. And then it was expanded on once the Tsar of Russia actually had heard it. And within a year, he had produced a full-length version. But the story is a sort of a timeless story of this, you know, someone being horribly transformed and put under a curse to, you know, live as a swan. And the only way that curse could be broken was by a prince finding and swearing his undying faithful love to her. And he does in Act Two. He does do that at the end of Act Two. So you're all, you know, there's this beautiful romantic moment where he says, I love you and I swear my love to you eternally, right? And then in Act Three, Odile comes along, the black swan, right? And she tricks him into swearing his love to her, which really causes a problem for Odette, the white swan, because it means that she will now eternally be entrapped in this curse of being a swan. And the tragedy of the story is that their love is so profound between Odette, the white swan, and the prince, because the prince in Act 4 rushes, first of all, he rushes out of the ballroom after realizing the huge mistake he did by swearing his love to the black swan. And he rushes out of the ballroom to find Odette, the white swan. And in Act 4, he finds her and he asks for forgiveness. And she says, "I understand," and forgives him. However, that curse still remains, darn it. And there's nothing that can be done about that. So at the end of the story, you know, I don't think it's that a huge spoiler alert, but there might be one here if you want to plug your ears, the listeners. You know, they decide that the only way to break the curse, she decides, you know, she leads the way on this. She decides the only way to break the curse is for her to throw herself off a high cliff into the raging lake that the swans live on, which was formed by the tears of their parents. And that breaks the curse. And Siegfried follows her because he wants to be with her. So the two of them die and go to this other place. You could call it heaven, you could call it nirvana, you could call it whatever, but it's they've found a new level of existence in which they live happily ever after. Yeah.
That's a timeless story.
Yeah, very much so.
Probably came before a lot of the copycat stories that are kind of like that.
Yeah.
But they were probably first. Boy, if it was 150 years ago, they had to have been first.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The music is, I hear the music in commercials.
Yep.
This is not a put down either, in cartoons.
Yeah. No, it's everywhere.
Warner Brothers cartoons have a lot of classical music in them.
Can I say that actually that's where I first learned to appreciate classical music when I grew up? In the old days, right? In the old days, we had cartoons that all had classical music to it. We didn't know it. I didn't know the William Tell Overture was the William Tell Overture. I thought it was, you know, the Lone Ranger. And I thought that was his theme song, you know, or Bugs Bunny, you know. It's just all these different things that used great pieces of classical music. When I started dancing and listening, hearing classical music, I thought, oh, what do you know? They're using cartoon music.
In those days, the studios all employed large orchestras.
Yeah, is that it?
And
that's
they could do that today. But yes, so some beautiful music came into the cartoons. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't just single out Warner Brothers. They all do
right,
that. But the music is beautiful. And the music is beautiful in Swan Lake, which opens this Friday the 14th. Maybe a date night is in order. Who knows?
Yeah, bad idea. That's a good idea there, Michael.
Friday the 14th at 7:30 p.m. Performances can continue then for, is it three consecutive weekends essentially?
Two.
The 14th, the 15th, the 16th. The 16th is a Sunday matinee. Wednesday the 19th, 7:30, 20th on is also 7:30 on Thursday. Then, oh, I see, the second week is a longer week.
Right.
Friday, Saturday, two performances on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, a performance as a matinee on Sunday the 23rd at the beautiful Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts. The number to call for more information is 816-931-8993 or online at kcballet.org. I bet the costuming is extensive for this.
Yes.
Lots of white and black.
And many colors, because we have acts that are, you know, normal human acts, if you wish to call them. So you have peasants and you have royalty and you have the prince, and you know, you have the queen and her ladies in waiting. So there's a lot of vibrant color in those acts. And then in the acts with the swans, it's pretty much white.
Sure. I'll bet you
pretty much white.
I'll bet your dancers love that.
They do. You know, that's one of the things about Swan Lake, Michael, that is really quite timeless for a ballet dancer. You know, it's one of those ballets you hope you can dance in your career. It really is, and it's one you hope you can dance many times in your career. So to be able to do this. This is our second time doing this. We did it in 2016, and now it's come back here in 2020 by popular demand, may I say. And, you know, it's one of those works, especially the role of Siegfried, Prince Siegfried, and the role of Odette Odile. These are great mountaintop roles to have a chance to do. And I'm really excited about the casts that are performing. There's a variety of different levels of maturity that are going into the different casts that are performing it. And it's a rite of passage. It really is to have this chance to do this role of Odette Odile or Siegfried. And I'm thrilled at how the dancers are taking to the Swan Lake waters so well. They really are doing a great job.
Yeah, some things bear repeating.
That's right. Oh, yes. This is one of them, for sure. That's how it's lasted 140-some years.
Yeah. Oh, it's a beautiful show, and beautiful for a Valentine's evening.
And the, you know, the music, I neglected to say this earlier when we were talking about Tchaikovsky. You know, we have the Kansas City Symphony that is performing with us, which, you know, adds to that experience of really being there in the Kauffman Center, beautiful Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts, hearing in this acoustically fabulous theater the internationally renowned Kansas City Symphony playing under Ramona Pounsegrau's direction, our music director, and on top of that, seeing the incredible dancers of Kansas City Ballet performing on stage. It's like a, you know, it's you kind of a knock it out of the park experience when you have all three of those elements involved all at the same time. So we're really excited about it. And there's nothing like going to a live performance. You can't replace that. I don't care how many videos you buy, CDs, you know, how many YouTube shows, you know, productions you might watch. There's nothing that can replicate sitting in the theater with an additional 1,000 to 1,400 individuals around you and communally experiencing this incredible live performance that only those individuals will ever be able to see in that one show, because the next show will be different because it's live.
It will be a little bit different. Nothing will be the same twice.
Yeah. You know,
that's the way live theater can be.
There it is.
And that's the reason we love it so much.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that's the way that happens. That's the best way to explain it. You voiced that very well, I thought. Swan Lake opens on Friday the 14th at 7:30 p.m. Performances then continue Saturday the 15th, a matinee on Sunday the 16th. A little longer week next week, so they need to be in shape. I'll bet they're already in shape. Wednesday the 19th, Thursday the 20th, Friday the 21st. All at 7:30, two performances. This is the day that we'll get them. Saturday on the 22nd, an afternoon matinee at 2, then a regular evening performance at 7:30, closes on Sunday the 23rd at 2 o'clock p.m. performance at the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts, a presentation of the Kansas City Ballet. The number to call, 816-931-8993, or online at kcballet.org. Thanks so much, Devin, for coming by. Telling us all about it. Don't forget our winter fun drive going on even as we speak. The number to call for that is 888-931-0901. Or you can go online to kkfi.org. And thank you for help supporting KKFI so we can talk about things like the ballet and other events like that. We're going to talk about some smaller venues when we do our pledge break in the second half of the program. But I want to thank Devin Carney, the artistic director of the Kansas City Ballet, for coming and telling us about their presentation of Swan Lake.
Thank you very much,
Thanks
Michael.
Thanks so much for being here. More when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame! Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare to local theaters. Margot Robbie's bat-swinging performance as the Joker's girlfriend, Harley Quinn, was probably the best thing about 2016's comic book movie Suicide Squad. Her character takes center stage in the latest entry in the extended DC Universe, Birds of Prey, and the fantabulous emancipation of one Harley Quinn. Essentially an R-rated girl gang movie, Birds of Prey is about the efforts of Harley and a group of female vigilantes to save a young kid who swallowed a diamond from evil Gotham crime lord Black Mask, played by Ewan McGregor. Deadpool seems to be the filmmaker's obvious inspiration for this action comedy. So, Birds of Prey is irreverent, rude, tongue-in-cheek, and has plenty of violence played for laughs. A little of this cheeky attitude goes a long way, but Robbie has created a memorable character. Her bat-swinging doesn't hit a homer, but produces a solid double. The new French film, Les Misérables, that won the jury prize at the Cannes Film Festival, is not based on Victor Hugo's 1862 novel, but it shares some of that classic's social themes. This harrowing contemporary film is a semi-autobiographical story based on incidents in the life of filmmaker Lage Lee, demonstrating that some things in France haven't changed much in 150 years. It focuses on the ongoing tension between the police, the poor populace, and the criminal underworld that often erupts into violence. Lee's unflinching approach gives Les Misérables an unsettling but compelling drive. Also opening this week, Elijah Wood stars in the bloody comic thriller Come to Daddy. He plays a man who attempts to reconnect with his estranged father after 30 years, but things don't go so well. The Song of Names is a drama about a Polish-Jewish violin prodigy who's a refugee in World War II London. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM. Freeze Frame!
Support for KKFI provided by the Kansas City Chamber Orchestra, presenting Enchanted Strings, an array of music for string orchestra, harp, and violin, including Vaughan Williams, Schubert, and Debussy. Wednesday, February 12th at 7:30 p.m. in the Folly Theater. Led by guest conductor Carolyn Watson, the concert is followed by a champagne and chocolate celebration. That's the Kansas City Chamber Orchestra at the Folly Theater on February 12th, 7:30 p.m. More information and tickets available at kcchamberorchestra.org.
With music from classic rock, classic R&B, and jazz. The Cool Oldies Show, hosted by yours truly, Stan the Man, every Wednesday morning from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show, right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. We're going to move now from the ballet to one of the average-sized theater in town, the Barn Players, where our friends at the Barn Players are presenting Titanic, the musical. They're going to sink that ship right on the barn stage. With us to tell us all about it, although she doesn't know how it's going to happen, is the president of the board of the Barn Players, Vita Vicalis. And she's been the long-term president of the board for a long time. How long?
Well, I joined the board in 2005 and was secretary for a couple years and then moved on to the pres position.
Yeah, once you get involved in jobs like that, they never let you go, do they?
Well, they said now it's kind of like a Supreme Court justice job. I have to die or go crazy.
I see. Well, we don't want either one of those things to happen.
I'm on the brink.
They're doing Titanic, the musical. It's a little different from the movie, as we'll talk about, but still a fun musical to see as well. We're going to be opening on Thursday the 13th with Titanic. Performances continue that first weekend on the 14th and 15th with a Sunday afternoon matinee, and basically the same schedule the next week. Thursday the 20th, Friday the 21st, Saturday the 22nd, all at 7:30, and closes with the big matinee on the 23rd at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Barn Players, and I was going to say new home, but you've been there for a while, the Arts Asylum, 1000 East 9th Street. And if you MapQuest things, you need a zip code, and that zip code would be 64106. We're here. Everything going well with the Barn Players? Did you have to chain up your parking lot during the parade last week?
Actually, they did. As a tenant, we have a parking lot key for the big fence, but they warned us that if you're going to the parade and plan on parking in the lot, you have to lock the gate.
See, the Barn Players are actually very close to downtown now, and with that road over the freeway done,
yes,
it's quite convenient to
the
get
8th,
there.
9th, and 10th Street bridges are all open, so let there be theater.
It's easy to get to the Arts Asylum.
It is.
1000 East 9th Street, where they are presenting, as I said, Titanic the musical. The Barn is especially good at doing musicals.
We are. That is really our nom de plume. We do 4 adult musicals and 1 adult play a year. And musicals are kind of our bread and butter.
You have good choreographers. You have good music directors. So I guess why not do a good musical?
Yes. And I think there are more performers in town who want to be on stage in a musical.
Yeah, well, I know some people that only want to do musicals. I tell them, well, there's more to life than musicals.
Oh, but, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that, Michael.
But they don't always listen to me anyway. Well, let's talk about Titanic. When people think Titanic, they think the movie versions.
Yes.
But this is a little different.
It
from
is. And it's not just the movie version with a few songs added. This is a whole different take on the production. The two leads in the movie don't even exist, whereas most of the, well, all of the people on the ship existed. This is a true story. However, the stage version is told through the eyes of the passengers. And so there are several love stories that come into play. You hear stories from the lower class passengers as well as the rich folks and the famous folks. So it's a winner of 5 Tony Awards from 1997. Beautiful music. And if I could say one thing about this cast, I heard them last week, and my goodness, the music is just glorious. I mean, they sound so wonderful, and there are so many of them. There are just under 40 people. And so it's a Titanic production of the Titanic.
It's a really big show.
It's a really big show.
That's right.
And that's only appropriate because this is the beginning of our 65th season.
You're in a pretty good place now. I mean, your previous home was good. This probably has worked out better for you in the long run.
It's been very interesting being in more of a collaborative workspace. It's difficult, of course, not having access to our own stage all the time and having everything under one roof. But I must say that moving from Johnson County to KCMO really has broadened our audition numbers. And we have many, many new people involved with the barn that never did in Johnson County.
Let's talk a little bit about Titanic, seen through the eyes of some of the passengers.
I can tell you that it's directed by Kip Simmons, who's a perennial favorite.
And well, he certainly is.
We are very excited, since this is such a big musical. Delano Mendoza is the musical director. And the very first time Delano music directed for us, it was High Fidelity over in Johnson County at the old place. And he won Best Musical Director that year. He does a fantastic job. And Kip, of course, we can always count on for a good showing. So we're very excited to have them teamed up for the first time.
See, one of the mysteries of going to the Barn Players where they are now is, where is the orchestra? Usually you used to be able to hear them off to the side, or sometimes they're even on the side of the stage.
We have options.
Yeah, I know. You
we
do now.
Options. And it's up to the director and musical director as to where they want the orchestra to be. And this is a big orchestra, too. We have a lot of people in the pit for this. I'm not sure where they are. I believe they're up in the choir loft, but I'm not sure.
Oh, is that what that's called, way up on the
that's
third
floor? That's what that originally
up?
Was,
yeah,
yeah.
The choir loft. Yeah. Yeah, because it does look like a church.
It is a church.
Yeah.
It was
so,
a church built in 1889.
Oh.
And then burned down during the Pendergast era, uh-huh. And then was refurbished. I mean, there's so much music in this show. It's not just a concert version, but you're not going to have all the dancing and the big set changes and everything that people might be accustomed to at the barn.
Sure.
It might be a little different.
Is it a big cast?
It's huge. We have just under 40. And a lot of new faces, a lot of familiar faces if you're a barn frequenter.
What attracts people, I mean a lot of people in this case, to the auditions? Was it the fact that it was the musical version of Titanic? Is it just musicals in general?
I think that there are many people who have always wanted to be in a specific show. There are some people who have always wanted to work for a specific director or a specific music director. There are several different aspects as to why. Some people, and we've seen this at the Arts Asylum since we've been there, several brand new, moved back to town, looking for a theater home, young people, and we're just tickled to have them kind of adopt us as their theater home.
Well, it's kind of there was not really a theater in Northeast Kansas City. At least there hasn't been for a while.
True, and especially a community theater. So, you know, sometimes community theater gets such a bad rap, and some people consider them like the ugly stepsister of the stage. But honestly, sometimes these are people who just made a different career choice, and they have amazing amount of talent, and they just chose to be teachers or lawyers instead.
Well, the lady who played your lead in Victor Victoria.
Oh, she was a PharmD.
She was excellent. Mm-hmm. She was excellent in the role, and when she came to the radio show here, we talked about that, talked about, you know, some of the unfortunate circumstances that her family's been through, and she said she used that mm-hmm. within the role, and that's a professional way, I think, of looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Some people use community theater as a stepping stone for bigger and better. We've had many people who have been on our stage and then get snatched up by the local equity houses. They come to see and they are just blown away by some of the talent that they see on our stage. So there's that. Some people have been on the community stage for 100 years and they're kind of winding down their performance. Others just do it for the love of the craft, and because they don't get paid, that's real love.
Yeah, it is. It's a long rehearsal process for a musical, even longer.
Usually about 4 to 6 weeks, depending on the director.
Yeah, but they're well trained to do the part once they've gone through all of that, kind of like a boot camp within itself. And we're going to talk about one of your boot camps in a bit. Well, I guess I'm going to blow the ship out of the water here by saying, yes, they're going to sink the boat somehow.
The ship sinks? Oh, no.
Somehow they're going to do that. I don't know how they're going to do
it. Who told you?
I don't know how they're going to do that on the stage of the Arts Asylum, but somehow it's going to happen.
Well, I will tell you that there will be lots of projections, and it's going to be an interesting take on the show. Now, we are doing something extremely exciting on the first Saturday. That's the 15th. It's coinciding with, as I said, the beginning of our 65th season. And you can still get in to see the show for the same price, but we'll have birthday cake and wine for you. There will also be a specialty coffee thing going on. And we'll also have our infamous fundraiser raffle night. So we've got lots of wonderful raffle prizes. Those tickets you purchase extra. I will tell you that one of the raffle items is what else but a cruise for two on Royal Caribbean.
Titanic and a cruise. Do you see the irony here?
I couldn't resist.
I'm just resisting making jokes about it, but it is happening. You have lots of events surrounding the barn. They're especially good at doing that. For instance, you have cabaret nights. Is it once a month?
Actually, we started this last year, and for each of our four musicals, Kevin Bogan, who has been on our stage, he's directed, he's musical directed, and he came to us with this idea, and it was really exciting last year. On the Monday, the dark Monday, in between the two weekend performances for each musical, he puts on a cabaret night, and there are different performers for each of the cabarets. The one that's in conjunction with Titanic is Valerie Dykes, and she's titled her evening, How to Be Imperfect.
Oh.
And these nights are really fun, and it's just fun to get to know these performers that you've seen on stage, but in a more intimate setting. This is just our second year doing them. Delano Mendoza, who I mentioned is the musical director for Titanic, is doing the second one in conjunction with the next musical, If Then. And then for Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, that's in August, we're doing a special, The Best of Times. It's the music of Jerry Herman. So that'll be fun. You know, he's the composer that did Hello Dolly and La Cage aux Folles and Mame. So that'll be some wonderful music that night. And then Kristen Altoro is doing the final one, and the title of her evening is Overthinking.
Oh.
So that's fun. And then I didn't mention the name of Delano's night. He's calling his Magic, and then in parentheses, Mexican-American Gay Imperfect Catholic.
Why not?
Yes. So you truly get to know these people up close and personal. And then we're doing something very new during the Monday night, Dark Night of the Laramie Project, which is our play this year. Greg Smith, who is fairly new back to town, he grew up here, has offered to do a one-man show that he's – one-person show, I should say – that he's done several times before called Precious Heart. And I've seen pictures. It looks hysterical. So hopefully that will – be during, well, I think it's May 18th.
Let's give Vita a break for a few minutes, because as I said earlier, we're in the middle of our winter fun drive here at KKFI, which helps to support the radio station and the arts programming here on 90.1 FM KKFI. The number for you to call so you can become involved in this is 888-931-0901. And, of course, you can go online and make your pledge at kkfi.org. During the first half of the show, we talked about the bigger organizations, the ballet, you know, the lyric opera, the repertory theaters, things like that. And we're happy to support them. It's the smaller theaters that I probably get the most joy out of talking to and learning about what they're doing. And there are so many smaller theaters. There's more now, I think, than there's ever been in the Kansas City area before. And I enjoy giving them the support they need. The biggest problem for community theaters in the past has been finding a good home. The mailing list was always something. Now, the advent of email and the internet helped the problems with the mailing list considerably. Finding a home is always a problem, and we want to give these organizations a lot of publicity so that they can be helped with that. You know, getting a spot on Channel 4 in the morning or Channel 41, you know, you can do that once in a while, but you just don't get the coverage you can get on a station like KKFI. I can take the time, as I said to Devin from the ballet, even he gets a few minutes early in the morning on Channel 4 occasionally, but he gets much more time when he talks here on this radio station with me and with others about what's going on with the ballet and things like that. But it's organizations like the Barn Players, probably one of the oldest community theaters in the area, if not the oldest. I enjoy helping them out. I enjoy hearing what they have to say, why they do the theater they do. Sometimes some of the theaters are more geared towards specific issues, and we like to make that clear for the audience. So they'll decide what they want to see and how often they want to see it. Often it's a specific show they want to see. But you wouldn't do that. You just wouldn't know what to do unless you would hear it from them personally. That's why I love having those people on, and I love hearing from them. So if you want to help them and help us at the same time, call and make a pledge to Community Radio KKFI. It's 888-931-0901. And, of course, you can make your pledge online at kkfi.org. We have a room full of people answering the phones right now to take your pledge. Make comments to them about what you're hearing, what you'd like to hear more of, what you'd like to hear less of. But, hey, everyone has their own sense of humor, okay? But call 888-931-0901 or online at kkfi.org. And if you have a theater group, and there's a lot of them have started in the last couple of years, and you'd like to have an interview on this program, give me a lot of advance notice, but write me an email here at the radio station. I'll read that, and we'll try to work you in to the schedule here. Schedule fills up pretty quickly, so get in and get involved in that. But the number to call for more information and to make your donation is 888-931-0901 or online at kkfi.org. Pledging and fulfilled a pledging has changed a lot in the last few years. We're trying to make it as easy for you as possible. And I hope that you get the impression that we do a lot for you. So you'll feel like you need to pay back by calling in for a donation. Okay, I'll mention that one more time at the end of the show. But let's get back to the Barn Players and Vita Vitalis. This is the Barn. This has so many activities going on. We've talked about cabaret night. You also have children's shows, but that goes along with kind of a children's, oh, do you want to say theater camp? Is that how you'd like to characterize it?
When we're talking about Barn Kids, yes, mm-hmm. It is a 3-week summer camp this year in July. It actually first day of camp is July 13th at Bishop Miege High School. We'll be back there for a third year, and it's a wonderful facility for us. And then they are producing their show, which is The Little Mermaid Junior. It will be terminally cute. That their performances are July 31st through August 2nd matinee.
Yeah, you've always done things like that, and even though you moved, you've continued to do those things.
Well, and we did another move this year. We're trying something brand new. We've always had our Barn Juniors. Those are kids going into, in the past it was 8th grade through senior year in high school. They have always done their thing in January, but as it turns out, now we're competing with time through the thespian conference that so many of the kids would have to go to. So that was difficult for us. And believe it or not, there are just too many activities for high school-aged kids in Johnson County. So we decided to take a chance, and we're rebooting, actually, our Barn Junior program into Barn Junior Boot Camp. And it is going to be at the Arts Asylum. Let's see, they start on June 8th and run for 3 weeks until the 26th. Now, this is going to be different. There's not going to be a big performance at the end of the 3 weeks. There'll be more of a casual showcase, talent show kind of thing. Each of the 3 weeks is going to be focused on a different aspect of performance, because we really didn't know what kind of experience high school kids in this part of town have. So we are doing acting first week, second week is going to be movement, and the third week is going to be focusing on singing. We also hope to bring in some professionals to do some workshops, maybe a lecture on improv one day, or fight choreography during the movement section. It's, I hope, going to be a wonderful introduction to high school age kids.
Okay, now the same phone number as you would call for other information from the Barn?
Actually, enrollment for both Barn Junior Boot Camp as well as the summer session for Barn Kids opens up at midnight on Valentine's night on our website.
So you're expecting, since you're opening at midnight, you're expecting a heavy turnout.
Well,
for this.
We limit the number of kids for the sessions because we want the ratio of teacher to student to be good. We also have this wonderful guy, Daniel Vasquez, who started out as a Barn Junior, and then he was in two of our adult shows, because he's a tall guy. And then last summer, he was an intern for us and got paid and also worked with the little kids. It was he's fabulous, and he's coming back from his first year of college, and he'll be with us again. And then each of the different weeks of the juniors has a different teacher.
So apply then online at thebarnplayers.org. You can also get the schedule of shows that are coming up.
You can buy tickets.
You can buy tickets. Any other of the activities that they have going on, you can probably do it all at thebarnplayers.org. Arts Asylum, of course, is located at 1000 East 9th Street, but the kids' activities will be at...
The little kids will be at Bishop Miege High School.
Bishop Miege High School.
The juniors will be at the Arts Asylum.
Okay. Sounds like you've got it all down to a T here.
Hopefully.
Titanic opens on Thursday the 13th. Also, performances continue then on the 14th and 15th, all at 7:30. Sunday afternoon matinee on the 16th at 2. Then they'll do it all over again the next weekend, Thursday the 20th, Friday the 21st, Saturday the 22nd, all 7:30s. And Sunday the 23rd, the big finale, the ship goes down for real, at 2 o'clock p.m. on the 23rd. I just love to make jokes about
You're
this.
Such a spoiler.
At the Arts Asylum, 1000 East 9th Street. And if you need to MapQuest things, and it's not really that difficult to find anymore, the map, you need to have the zip code, and that's 64106. And remember, it's thebarnplayers.org. You need to have the in there. Be grammatically correct in doing so.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, we don't have a whole lot of time left. You briefly want to talk about, and by briefly, I mean like 45 seconds, what's coming up as far as the barn schedule?
Still two shows to our season that I didn't mention before. Our November show is The Secret Garden, which is a perennial favorite, really wonderful show directed by Jessica Franz with musical direction by Michelle Allen McIntyre. And then we finish our annual season with our 13th annual 6x10 original play festival. Always
fun. Right. Yeah. Six plays, no longer than 10 minutes in length.
That's right. All from local playwrights within a 300-mile radius.
And then you start over.
Then we do it all again.
And you do it all over again. Barn Players, Titanic opens on Thursday the 13th and runs for essentially the end of the week for two weekends in a row. Beginning on Thursday the 13th. So thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Michael.
Telling
us
all about it. And remember, our fun drive is going on. If you want to hear more about theater groups like the Barn Players and other groups of a similar nature, we want to have them on the show. So and we need your support to help make that happen. So remember, the number to call is 888-931-0901. Or you can do it online at kkfi.org. Thank you so much, Vita, for coming and being with us, telling us all about what's going on about the barn. All right. Jazz Insider is next. Sam Wiseman, he's going to have some great jazz for you. And because it's a fundraising week, you might have some wonderful musical guests for you as well. Jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.
tuned to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. You've been listening to the Arts Magazine Show. Coming up next, Jazz Afternoon, jazz from 1 to 3 p.m. right here at KKFI 90.1 FM. Currently 37 degrees in Kansas City. High of 41 today. Tonight, cloudy with a chance of clearing later on with a low around 30 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 41. Lots of great programming coming your way. I'm Sam Wiseman. Lots of great jazz music. Special guests as well. Hope you can stay with us here at KKFI.
Thanks for listening, folks. This is Baby J.
And Clayton DeLong.
We are A La Mode.
This is Adam Goblin with Hot Club KC.
Hi, this is